Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome back, everybody, if you've been listening to the rest of the podcast, or welcome to the 60 Mark podcast series. It's Marina here, and I am very, very excited to be welcoming my next guest, who I'd probably just like going, oh, it's my mate. I'd like to introduce Janet Bannister, who I was going to say needs no introduction, but we're on the global stage now, so I will have to
give
you...
There are some people in the world who don't know me, is that what you mean?
There are just a couple. They have yet to actually experience the power of the JB.
Fair enough.
But I am very happy to have Janet Bannister here, our business architect, our inspiration, our Auntie Janet, our all of these wonderful things. And you're here going to be talking about being a business analyst. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here finally. And how come you've done like two series already and not have me on yet?
I don't know. This is such a dynamic. I'm just sorry. I never meet your expectation.
not true, Marina, but there you go.
Anyway, let's... All right. Business analyst, like you are in Adelaide, certainly a bit of a legend. I know you're a massive inspiration for people in the business analyst field. Tell us about your career. How on earth did you end up here in a little alleyway in Adelaide?
Yes. Well, it's very kind of you to say so. I was thinking about this question because I knew you were going to ask this about how far back do I go, but you sort of have to go back to the beginning, which was my first job working for a building society in the UK as a graduate trainee. After having done a degree in chemistry, which has proved completely useless since then. But I ended up as a branch manager of a medium branch of this nationwide building society in the UK. So on the front line with real customers and on the receiving end of change. So that was like mid-80s. So it was very much a time when change was being done to you. And we just got lists of things that we had to do every day, things to change, new forms, whatever. And that was such an unpleasant, really, experience that when there was an opportunity to be a business rep on some projects, I put my hand up for that. So started then exploring a bit more what it meant to be involved in projects, and then the opportunity to be a business analyst came up. And I think like many business analysts, my first BA role was, here you go, you can be called a business analyst now, go sit over there and start. And so I did. So I worked for Nationwide for a few years in projects. Then I moved to EDS and worked there as a business analyst and ended up as the tech support lead. So managing all the application and software and hardware support for a call centre, and with EDS had the opportunity to come out here to Australia, to Adelaide.
That's right.
And that's when I first, the business architect job title came in, so I came as a business architect there, worked at the mortgage centre in Lockleys in Adelaide, which is a bit of a rite of passage for most people in Adelaide.
Tour of duty, some people might say.
Yeah. and then had the opportunity to work for MCBI and its predecessors.
Pre-names, yes. Yeah. We were settling into the MCBI name, tried a few on, yeah.
Yeah. So, and in that time, that's, I think I've done all sorts of things, including now podcasts.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah. I always come up with some other crazy idea to have a go.
That's great, isn't it? So it's a quite a kind of traditional, I suppose, journey to where I am now.
Yeah. Yeah, in many ways it is, isn't it? Yeah. Like you come up, you start as a business, you sort of think, oh, I could do that, and then want to jump the other side and help others, not possibly help others avoid the experience of change that you may have experienced.
Yeah.
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 So that means, that's how you've got here, but how do you, I mean, people talk about you like, you know, you're a bit of a legend, like a phantom or something on it, and I think it's evident to anyone who gets to the privilege to work with you. I do feel very privileged. I'm not just saying that. Oh, look at us, a big loving.
Nice.
But the business analyst role is something that suits you so well. You have that really amazing combination of intellect. I don't think the chemistry degree was, you know, wasted. I can see you analysing people. But, you know, what made you choose I mean, there would have been points along that career where you could have jumped off and done something else, but...
Yeah, that's an interesting one, actually, and it's one I find quite hard to answer. Why have I stayed being a business analyst? I know when we do the better BBA, better business analyst courses and advanced BBA, I talk about this, about staying as a business analyst through my career, because business architect is still a business analyst in my view. And it's largely because I've been able to and I've really liked it. So
that's complicated.
You know, so it isn't that complicated really. You know, I've branched off from time to time. I've done the project management thing and I've done more of the operational leadership thing. But I keep coming back to this, you know, fixing stuff and sorting stuff out.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you chose the career or did the career choose you?
I think it was just a fit. I think the things that I'm good at, you know, so I, you know, I'm going to blow your own trumpet a bit, I suppose. But,
okay.
You know, the communications, communication skills, good.
Yep.
So, you know, being able to talk to people has always been a strength, and people at different levels. So being able to seem credible for senior leadership as well as, you know, people who are working on the front line. So being able to do that, being able to gather lots of information quickly and process it and turn it into something that is then recognisable as something that can be delivered. I think that's just those skills are just things that I have or have honed over the years, and that matches really well with that role. So it's always been a very kind of comfortable fit for me.
Yeah, yeah. I think you do have a very unique way about you with communication that you can be quite forceful and get things over the line. I've certainly been on the receiving end. But you just keep these amazing relationships in place.
Yeah.
And do you think that's a key aspect of being a good business analyst, relationship management?
I do. Possibly, obvious. It's, you know, obviously I do. But it's that credibility thing, I think. So you can be lovely to people and, you know, they all think you're a nice person and all that. But unless you can actually deliver for them on what they want and give them the information that they want, then you're just a nice person. You know, you've got to be able to put yourself in their shoes and look at what they are wanting to get out of this particular exercise and deliver to that rather than like what you're thinking, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that whole engagement piece is just that ultra critical part of being a BA, whatever type of BA you are. So, you know, we head into agile and, you know, the job titles disappear, but those skills are still there and that communication engagement skill, I think, comes top of the list every time, you know, whatever your job title is.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a question could be a little bit controversial, but, I mean, we've been in the sector too long. Mm. There are lots of BAs out there who take have the belief of fake it till you make it. You know, they sort of... Do you think the BA industry, though, has now merged into the guys who are just out having a crack at it, having a go, are quickly being shown up now because of the value the BA can actually deliver to a company?
Yeah, I think so. This is this kind of Swiss Army knife thing, which is a bit of one of my particular hobby horses. A few years back now, there was, I think it was Hayes IT, were giving a talk about some survey that they'd done and they were saying that one of the comments they got back was, oh, the business analyst is the Swiss Army knife of projects, and everyone in the room kind of tittered politely. And I got more and more angry.
I know, I was there.
Yes. Like, how dare they? Because to me, the Swiss Army knife it's useful and all of that, but it's what you use when you can't find the proper tools. And I think too many business analysts think of themselves as a Swiss Army knife. I only have to do a bit of things well and no more than that. Whereas what we're really talking about is the absolute skill of the business analyst around their flexibility is based on the fact that you've got a toolbox full of proper tools that you know how to use and you know which ones you should be using when. And that's what actually makes you valuable and worth your role in an organization, that you can pull out the right tool for the right occasion and use it well and not be this kind of skim over the top.
Mm.
Just give it a go.
It's
a lot more than that.
Enthusiasm.
If you're going to be good, yeah.
Well, isn't that the truth? There's a difference between being good at your craft and just being average on it, which skills and all of that are probably one of the big ingredients around it. But it's not just skills. I mean, you obviously teach now and mentor and you do all that side of it. But it's also the way an organisation views its BA capability.
Mm.
And we obviously have, you know, literally hundreds of BAs cruising through, and there is a recurring theme that their organisations fail to understand the real value of a BA. What are your thoughts?
Many organisations don't trust their business analysts. You know, the business analysts are going to, if they're good, they should be challenging. And they're going to come up with perhaps different ways of doing things or different potential solutions to a problem. And one of the things I think that happens is there's still too much at a more senior management levels where they head down this, oh, I read something or I saw something or I played golf with someone or whatever. We need this. Let's have this. And it's just pushed downwards. And business analysts are often left as the lone voice saying, I'm not sure this is actually solving the problem that we have, because that process hasn't really been gone through of determining what the problem is. So it can be a difficult place and quite a challenging place for business analysts, I think, especially as the world's technology and change is happening very quickly.
Yeah.
There's almost less time for BAs to get in there and go, hang on a minute, there's a better way to do this, which has always been that traditional view.
Yeah.
So
you hear some BAs they describe themselves as order takers. You know, they've been diminished, the roles.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've been disempowered and they're basically just taking the crazy idea from someone who's got influence and trying to make it so.
Yeah. Unfortunate, I think.
Yeah.
Because you miss out on, you know, that whole set of skills that BAs have. And it makes life very difficult, I think, if you're just trying to jam in a solution where the impacts on business haven't been fully considered, which is really where the business analyst will be, advocating, credible advocate for the business, the people on the receiving end of that change. If that's not being heard, then that's a dangerous space to be in, I think.
It can actually, it's very dangerous from a risk point of view and all of those items. Mm. Now, that you have a whole lot of business analysts listening to this nodding and going, yeah, in their car going, absolutely, Janet, you tell her how it is.
Mm.
But what about for the business leaders? What advice, if I could just give you a magic superpower and then say, all right, business leaders, this is actually how you need to look at business analysts. Or, you know, this is how you can actually work with them to generate less friction.
Mm.
What would you do?
Okay, business leaders, ask questions. Don't give the answers. Ask your people the questions. So not just business analysts, really, but, you know, anyone within the business. If you're thinking that there's something wrong, you don't have to come up with a solution yourself. You'd be a lot better off and get a lot more, you know, perhaps a more useful solution by actually asking questions.
Mm.
So, and don't just ask the question of the next person down who is trying to do the right thing by you. I think one of the advantages of being a senior leader is that you've got some layers in between you and the people right at the front line. And you can ask people way down the stack what they think. And in most cases, they'll tell you, and you should do that. So ask the question of the people that work for you would be my...
Ask proper. Be prepared to listen as implied.
Well, it's implied, I suppose. Yeah.
We don't work in implications.
No.
It's precise. You taught me that.
No, they're going to... but it's always a two-way thing. So, you know, you're then dependent on the people you talk to actually giving you the information. So BAs need to speak up.
Yep.
Their best place to speak up.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, It's our time together is over. Well, not
so soon.
I know, Dan. We're going to do business architecture as well. But okay. All right, but you're not off the hook just yet.
Yeah.
Are there any final comments or final advice you want to give to a BA out there who's thinking of becoming a BA?
Don't underestimate the skills that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume just because you've got a job title you can do it. Actually put some effort into doing it.
Yeah.
Don't let the profession down. There's been a lot of effort in the last few years gone into making business analysis an actual profession. So if you've got a job title like that, then you're part of a collegiate, supportive set of people. So
passionate people,
yeah,
too.
Very passionate people, yeah. So, you know,
Don't let us down.
Don't let us down.
I love that. Yeah. All right, quick four questions before we let you off the hook. All right. I know you answer questions. All right.
All right.
Lemonade or Coca-Cola?
Lemonade.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Well, you can't judge me on the answer to my question.
I'm not judging you. I never judge you. I'd be too afraid to. All right. Ports or Crows?
Okay, Crows, but we're a blended family, so it makes life a bit difficult.
That's hard, blended families. All right. Strawberry milkshake, your thoughts? Good or bad?
No, bad.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
People who drink strawberry milkshakes.
No.
Yeah. And last one, are you a sleep-in or a get-up-early type of person?
I'll get up early, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. You are. You're always the first at work.
Crack it on, 7:30.
Excellent. Nice. Thank you so much for coming down and spending a little bit of time for us at the MCBI 60 Mock podcast series.
Welcome.
And
pleasure.
We will hear from you again. Thank you, JB.
Okay, bye.
Bye.